If you did not grow up Catholic or you're visiting here today, you can probably remember the first time you went to a Catholic Mass. And maybe you had the experience of everyone else knowing when to stand, when to sit, when to kneel, what prayers to say, and that kind of feeling of trying to just follow along and fit in. I actually had that experience a little bit, I think, when I went to seminary. Some of the different prayers or things that other people did or knew that I didn't know that I kind of had to get used to. One of them was the prayer called the Angelus. It was a prayer that we'd pray before the meal blessing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It involved a series of verses with Hail Marys and a closing prayer. And I don't know, maybe I slept through Sunday school that weekend or something, but just wasn't something I remembered from growing up. But it was a prayer that came to be part of kind of my regular prayer routine, and that a lot of its origins come from what we heard today, that it's a reflection on the Annunciation, which is the gospel for this Sunday, and the closing prayer for it is actually the same as the opening prayer was for this Mass, pour forth we beseech you, O Lord, that it highlights three aspects, three kind of antiphons, three parts of the Annunciation, which I think are great for us as we reflect today. First, it says, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is the part describing God's action, God's initiative. Then it says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word, quoting Mary from the gospel we just read. Mary's response to God's initiative. Then finally, it quotes a line from the Gospel of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The fruit of this cooperation, that Mary cooperates with the initiative of God and bears this great effect. St. Maximilian Kolbe, when he used to teach, he would do a little illustration, kind of an equation. So we think of maybe a capital W, which would represent the will of God. He'd write this capital letter there. That represents God's will or God's initiative. Then he'd write plus a lowercase w, which represents our will, our cooperation. And then equals holiness, the fruit, the result. That powerful things happen when we join our will in union with God, not setting them in opposition, not setting them kind of trying to follow our own ends and fear that in some way following God would frustrate those goals, but to realize that really that greatest fruit, that greatest effect happens when those come into contact with each other, when we allow ourselves to say the word of Mary, behold, let it be done unto me according to thy word, that we would follow that initiative, that God could fulfill his promises in us. It says, God, for whom all things are possible, or the promises even in the first reading to King David of the descendant that would sit on an eternal throne, that would be a son of God and call God Father. Mary lived this life not just in the Annunciation, but in the simple everyday things leading up to it, being prepared. That we ask the Lord that we would be aware of those simple everyday moments of allowing our will to be joined to the will of God so that this great fruit can be born, that we can be ready maybe for moments of bigger decision. How can we in these days really be attentive and aware of that dynamic, of the union of our will with God? How can we allow God to bear that good fruit?